I guess one of the most outstanding things in the Bible, and what can you say, the most outstanding in the Bible is the Word. All down through my lifetime in preaching, I've always remembered what the Bible says about he that God sendeth shall speak God's Word. And he says in one place, if these that had come, if I had sent these men, then they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. But in that they did not cause my people to turn from their sins, then it's very evident that I did not send them. The minister of God is to the gospel will always turn people away from sin, because sin is a killer. Sin is the sting of death. And the one thing that we seek to do is to turn people away from sin. All right, so then, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the same came forth, put on flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld it as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth, the Word. So my life has always orbited around the Word. No matter what I do, no matter where I go, it's always around the Word. I believe in the Word. I think the Word. I talk the Word. I live the Word. I trust in the Word. I advise people to the Word. Everything of my life is toward the Word. I try not to get out of bounds of the Word. We all stumble and stagger, and I'm not a very good example as to following the Word, but I make a diligent effort with all of my heart. I'll try to love him with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, all of my strength. Because to me, that's everything, the Word. The Word is God, and everything, the Word is everything. And when you trust in the Word, when you believe in the Word, when you take the Word, when you put your faith in the Word, and you confess the Word in word and in deed as to your own activities of life, things always, 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 always work out right. Never, never, never do they work out wrong. Never. We've tried that around the world. We preached it around the world, trusted in it around the world. And while I've seen other people struggle at ritualistics and all kind of things and try to make their life one way or another, or go one way or another, or try to figure out salvation, whatever, I just always went back to the Word and always held to the Word and always preached the Word and always loved the Word and always trusted in the Word. Always refreshed my mind in the Word, constantly going to the Word, learning the Word, understanding the Word, and loving the Word. And it always worked. While others stumbled and staggered around, God always gave me strength. All right, so then, inasmuch as we're enthused over the Word, I guess you must have come to hear the Word this morning. If you'd have come for any other reason, you wouldn't have been able to enjoy yourself, because the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's Word, and here we are. Being sin of God is so we're interested in the Word, and we're interested in turning you away from sin. And the reason for that is because sin is the displeasure of God, because sin kills. Now, when I come up here, I'm filled up and overflowing, literally filled up and overflowing with the Word and with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Taylor was talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, it is the revealing of the Word. It is the changing of the Word into spirit and into life. It's the only form of life. It's the words of life and the only form of life, because God is the life. And the Bible says it's concerning the prophetical utterance in the time of John the Baptist, when his father was anointed there, the strings of his tongue loose. He prophesied, and the Spirit spoke through him, saying, and God has ordained that we should serve him in holiness and in righteousness without fear all the days of our life. For the Bible said, be not afraid of him that's able to kill the body, and after that can do no more, but rather be afraid of him that when once he has killed the body, he can also destroy the soul in hell. So we think about the Spirit. The revelation, the Bible said, in the beginning there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and God called for light, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and there was light. Let's read it, chapter 1, book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowls that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowls multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which the fruit is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I've given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, right here, there's something for us to kind of think on right there as to using the terms that God created heaven and earth, and all these things, and then resting on the seventh day. Maybe we'll just talk just a minute before we get into our thought. And if the minds are hungry and the spirit moves, then we'll get into the deep mysteries of God or the revelation. If you'll notice, it said that God finished all of his work in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Knowing that God had chosen a people called the Jews, and that he was using them in a symbolic manner as to show a church that someday he would bring forth, and that in these symbolic things as to allegoric types and shadows, God was laying these down as a blueprint and a program for you and I in later years. And that our understanding was to come from God out of these allegoric types and these shadows. That's why Paul uses the terms that in the reading of the Old Testament, speaking to the Jews as of his day, that the veil which was over Moses' face as to hide the glory that was revealed in that day, that is to say, and that which could not steadfastly be seen as unto the end of it, that veil, he said, remaineth until today, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away with in Calvary, or that is to say, if Calvary was the rent veil, then the veil being rent in twain, as to the veil of death, of intellectual concept of God and reasoning, that which fell over the eyes, as to the eyes of understanding, over the eyes of Eve and Adam in the garden, that cut them off from the spirit world and that wonderful, beautiful garden, that veil of intellectual death, as to be carnally minded, is death. And that intellectual veil of death as to human reasoning, as the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And that human veil of reasoning that fell over them remaineth over the face of the people, handed down to the children as in Adam all die. So then we find that that veil is still there, except in Calvary, and even till today it's still there as to intellectual reasoning. Whereas the Bible says concerning them that do not have this veil rent in their life, that they shall not see when good comes, even the eyes of their understanding being darkened, that they cannot see as through the eyes of understanding when the light cometh. For the Bible said, this great wonderful light is to the understanding of God. It shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But as to you and I say this so often, that we comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length of this wonderful light, which is the understanding of Almighty God. So then we know by this that the church world continues. It continues to walk in an intellectual indoctrination as to the wild imagination or as up to vanities of life. And all they ever see is the natural side of life, and they think of a natural God, and they see according to a natural way of life, and they are taught prosperity and blessings, which of course comes from God, and that the Bible said that the gospel is profitable for this world as to this life and the world to come. And he hath given us all things that pertain unto life, both in this life and the world to come. But in that we are a spiritual people, then we serve a spiritual God. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. And he said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that the eyes of your understanding should be unveiled or enlightened. Otherwise, you can never see these things. As it was the Jews, they were looking for the Messiah. But when the Messiah came, they did not recognize the Messiah because the veil was over their face. And they could not understand what Moses had told them concerning the Messiah. So they rejected the Messiah, and the Messiah turned to the Gentiles. And then he desired to take out of the Gentiles a bride for his name's sake. So he sent Paul the Revelator as one that had the revelation or the revealing of Christ. The revealing of Christ. That is, from the body of Jesus came forth to Christ at the rent veil, that is to say, as of his flesh, as to the veil rent in twain, that is to say, he made within himself twain or two, both the Lord and Christ, that when the Lord was separated from the Christ, as to the rent veil, being rent in twain, in that he said, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. When the veil was rent in twain, at that time your tabernacle was separated from your spirit, and your tabernacle from that time on was considered dead by the wrath of God that had been poured out upon that tabernacle, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which God smote, or we esteem him smitten of God. He that was knew no sin was made our sin, that we might be made the righteous body of Christ Jesus. The body of this death, the dispute over the body of, and this is where the problem come in, because the thing that Adam lost, and that Adam was not in the transgression but Eve, he lost his body. As to his body being the wife, and the wife being the reproductive part, as to his image, as it is with man, woman, she is made for the glory of man, is to reproduce his image. And man is the feminine part, and woman's only a typical allegoric type, for man is feminine, just to the Spirit. His conception is of the divine order of God, whereas Paul said, and I travail till Christ be formed within you, as to the divinity of the conception of the divine seed of God, to bring forth Christ in our life. Therefore, man is the glory of God, because he reproduces the image of Almighty God. So we see then in this that when we speak as to the new city of New Jerusalem, we find that the gates of that city, they have the name of the Israelites on the gates and the name of the apostolic leaders in the foundation. So then the New Testament being the foundation of this apostolic leadership, in that the Bible says that Jesus Christ has laid these foundations as to the 12 apostolic foundations for the city, then no other foundations can any man lay, which means there can never be another doctrine of any kind, no matter what the churchism is, or no matter what other powers are, whether it is of the Jewish people or of the papacy of Rome, or whether it is of the Protestant people, it doesn't matter. There can never be any other foundations except these that Jesus Christ has laid, which is the apostolic leaders, which is the foundation of that great, wonderful city of New Jerusalem. And you can't lay any other foundations. Jesus picked these out himself in the time of his earthly ministry, and he laid these. And when Abraham spoke of this, even before the coming of the Messiah, he said that he was seeking a city. And it is said of Abraham that he was a stranger and a pilgrim in a strange country, seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Oh, that is to say, I seek a city with foundations. Because the world, I say again, hath no foundations. All of these things, even as to the natural world, Pluto, Mars, all of these planets are just drifting around in space. And there is no foundation. And the bottomless pit is out there. And these are just drifting around, just drifting around. And when you get away from these, you find no boundaries, you find no top, you find no side, you find no, scientists has never been able to fathom it, because it's the bottomless pit of infinity. See, and that's why scientists, falsely so called, as to a knowledge is ever learning and will never be able to come to God's truth knowledge, or the knowledge of the truth, which is the Word of God. See, and it cannot be learned in seminary, it cannot be learned in schooling, it must be revealed. For the Bible said these things are higher above our mind than the heavens is the earth. And God seeks to reveal it to babes, even to them that are willing to learn, that we might have the spirit of revelation. All right, so then God is the Spirit. So we see these allegoric types of the gates of that great city. That means to say that all of this of the Old Testament is the gateway into the New Testament. And the New Testament is the foundation of that great, wonderful city. And Paul said, I am a wise master builder, and that ye are the lively stones. I have the revelation, and I'm sent as to an overseer to the Gentile church to build this city of lively stones. And he said, every man that builds on these foundations, let him take heed how that he build, for the day shall try his work as if before. And if his works abide, he shall receive a reward. But if not, then his works shall be burned. And even though some will get in as if before, they themselves being saved as if before, staggering and stumbling around and never bringing any fruit to perfection, yet the Bible speaks of this great, wonderful city being built to let us go on to perfection, as I said the other night. Not turning again to lay the foundation of dead works and dead faith toward God, but on to the doctrine of baptisms and on to eternal judgment and the resurrection of the dead. And these things shall we do if God permit. All right, so I say again, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and been made partakers of the Holy Ghost, if they should fall away, to renew them again under repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves afresh the Lord Jesus Christ and bring him to an open shame. So we see then in this, just briefly speaking to you, as to brief you on a few things to where you can understand that the Old Testament is an allegoric gateway into this wonderful city, as into the midst of the church of these lively stones, of whom Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, or that is to say, as to the pyramid city, he is the all-seeing eye, he is the capstone of the great city. And that within the confines of these beautiful, luscious, lovely walls, as we say, her light being most precious, even as a jasper stone, then this light being as to the Lamb on the inside, which is the light that penetrates our heart, moves out the infiltration that makes us just like a crystal clear stone, to where this radiation is like in a diamond, the fire of God showing through there, in that we're the stones of God. And he uses the terms, and I will remember thee and spare thee as a man spareth his sons when I come to make up my jewels. So within the confines of this great wonderful city as to the throne of God within the midst of us, then we find the Lamb as to the word, which is the spirit, as to understanding, which is the light. And we're standing firmly upon the foundations of the apostolic leaders. And we are exalting the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as to the remission of sin and to the power of deliverance, as to healing or whatever it is, in that he is the word, and the name of that word is Jesus. For Jesus said, and Father, I have manifested thy name, and Father, I have given them thy name, and I have kept them in thy name. And if another had come in his own name, he said to the people, you would have received him, but I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. And the Bible said, there's none other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved, and that there is remission of sin in none other name. And beginning at Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, remission for sin shall be taught in his name. No remission without the shedding of blood. And we receive the blood as to under the law. All things was purged by blood. Practically everything. So here we are as to the purging of the blood. But we are made heir to it by remission of our sins. When we repent of our sins, the blood is applied to us. And the acknowledgement of that is that before publicly, we stand and we are baptized or buried in a watery grave in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to show the body of sin dead, that the body of death is now gone, the image of the bastard child or that of iniquity is now gone as to the body of this death, and we're now putting on as to be resurrected from the dead, being buried with him in baptism. Paul said, then you put on Christ, coming forth in the resurrection with Christ. We are now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as in the sight of God, until that great change over the chasm of the church ages, till the time of the coming of the Thessalonian changes, the sounding of the last trumpet, the finishing of the mysteries of God, and then the body as to change, and then the life of Christ on the inside being made manifest in our mortal genes. Now, in this, we see then that we are the body of the Lord Jesus, members in particular, Jesus Christ himself, being the head. And the great mystery, Paul said, concerning the woman and the man, that the man is the head and the woman is the members. So we are the members of his body in particular, and Jesus Christ himself is the head, which makes us one in that Eve was taken out of Adam. And we're seeking to return back into the body from whence we came, as to the darkness that came over Adam, as to the rending of the veil, as to that when Eve was taken out of the side, as it was with Moses there in the cleft of the rock, and the many things, revelationally speaking, that we've said in the past or could say. So we see then that now we are within the wonderful city. And what is that wonderful city? John said, I beheld it as the bride of Christ, as a bride adorned for her husband, coming down out of the heavens. We are they that come down from heaven. We are they that descend from heaven. We're not of the earth. Jesus said, ye are of the earth, ye of the dust. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. Because Adam was made out of the dust, and you're born of Adam, and you're born of dust. And in Adam all die, and you love the things of the world, and you go after the things of the world. And the love of the world is in you, and you esteem the flesh, and it's self-esteem, and education, and money, and prestige, and powers as to dominion, and lording over people, and all of these things as to dignitaries and celebrities, and the way of life as to money values, as to being something in the world. See, but in Christ Jesus, who was low, very low, made lower than the angels, and yet crowned with the glory of God, to be ruler over all things. For what is man that thou art mindful of him, that thou hast made him a little lower than the angels? Thou hast ordained him with your glory, and set him over the work of your hands. Or that is to say, all of these things in this world is but lying vanities. Solomon said vanity and vanity and vanity of vanities. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. But see, we are not as to a living soul, though we are born as a living soul in our first birth, yet as to Calvary, it brings about the smiting of the firstborn. And Calvary, when God moved, death smote the firstborn. As in the fullness of time, God sending forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, and death moved as in Egypt, as in the world, and smote the firstborn. And we who had the blood applied, we as the firstborn was not smitten. But Jesus being smitten for us, now then we are the secondborn as to the second man Adam, and the image that the first man Adam lost through the fall as to the Shekinah glory, whereas God said, and you cover with the covering but not of me, having to put skins on them, that today you are the bastard child image as in the world as to the first birth, and you are carrying the fleshly image of skins. And he said, as to you, you having the infiltration of Lucifer within that flesh, and Satan saving the things that be of the flesh, then are you swallowed up of the things of the flesh, and ye are a bond child as to the bondage of your intellectual reasoning by human senses, as of these five senses, being fastened to the things of this world and desiring the things of this world and the frolics of this world and the ways of this world and all that pertains unto the flesh. In that Jesus said, as concerning this, when he spoke to Peter, thou savest the things that be of the flesh and not the things that be of God, and this that is in you, as to say, and the love of the world within you, the love of the Father is not there. Or the world he hath placed within your heart, thus the kingdom of God is not within your heart. But to you that are born again, then you have the kingdom of God on the inside, and the world has been taken out. The body is now dead because of sin, in that it relates to the world, and it's the bond's child. You're now the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, as to the new body that is being delivered from death, as to having been delivered for our offenses, Jesus, as to your body smote at Calvary, raised again for our justification, as to Christ coming up, and that is your new body in Christ Jesus, which you cannot see with your natural eyes and as to observation, but we're not to know each other after the flesh, but after the spirit, in that we pass from the first man Adam as to death of a living soul because of sin, and now we are a quickening spirit. All that is born to spirit is spirit. He is a quickening spirit as to the second man Adam, and by the washing of regeneration, we are now the second man Adam as to the quickening spirit. We are through the washing of regeneration from one generation over to the generation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are gods. For the Bible said, you're gods. Though you do not understand as to your educational side of it from God, and you're developing, you're going on, so you die like men. But after that, you have come to the complete knowledge and understanding of the allegoric teachings as to your processes, to your diplomacy of life, you will not die. They can't put you in a casket. The grave can't hold you, but you'll be changed from mortality to immortality, from the terrestrial to the celestial, from this corruptible to the incorruptible, because there is a natural body as to the first man Adam, there is a spiritual body as to the second man Adam, and in that we born the image of the first, and then it was smote at Calvary to the earthly. Now we bear the image of the heavenly as in the eyes of God, and we're waiting for that change to be made manifest at the last trump. Every man that hath this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure, and at the last trump this will break forth as to the inner life of Christ made manifest in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to a change in you as to the life of Christ within your mortal genes. So then we see that we cannot learn this. We cannot go to college and get this. We must have this revealed to us, because God hath reserved this unto himself, that he will reveal to us as babes, or if we're willing to submit ourselves, giving more grace to the humble. Briefly, as I run through these things, then you can see what I'm saying to you. You can understand why that Calvary, from Calvary on over, this great revelation called the revelation of Jesus Christ, which John saw in the last book of the Bible, this great revelation of Jesus Christ is to us then the revealing or the making known of the invisible Christ, which is the invisible Spirit. So then the world goes after the natural Christ as to the Moses side of it, as to the law, And of course, they go to Calvary as to death being smitten. Because it is only those where the blood was applied, as to when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, that today that we can actually say the blood has been applied at Calvary, as we say here, when the thorns went into his head is over the doorpost, when the nails went into his hands on the side of the doors here, as Jesus saying, I am the door, and through the darkness of this night, as to that night of darkness, as to death, that intellectual reasoning that we're passing through, that we are within and we're staying within and we're not going out while death is smiting the Egyptians, as through this dark night, as to civilization springing from Egypt, and all is of Egypt except you and I, salvation being of the Jews, then we're born, as to say, the true Jew, and we are they that are being led by the great wonderful Spirit all the way from Egypt bondage, as to this garlic and onion world, over into Canaan, where we will find the new harvest. By the way of this intellectual wilderness, that is to say, the intellectual wilderness, wandering of the change from natural life as to natural man's thought, to spiritual life as to spiritual man's thought, are coming by the way of the wilderness and all the serpents biting us, which means evil spirits, as to a representation of those demons and devils, as those thoughts oppress our mind, as we make the interchange right there, like a woman going through the change of life and a man going through the change of life. This is the most dangerous part of all, and as a child coming from their childhood over to adult stages, they go through the change of life, and during this time the law is after them and they're in prison and they lose their virtues and all kind of things, unless they have a real dad and mother that's concerned and somebody to watch after them that's not gullibly drunken off of the cares of life, as to the frolics of life and to the frivolous things, as to the intellectual reason of carnality. One has to be carnally minded is death, because there is no spirit in carnality. And even though I say so often, we can have all the carnal things that we want to, as to cars, houses, money, whatever it is, providing we're never at any time carnally minded. We must be spiritually minded and use carnal things. God is a spirit. He created all the carnal things, and that for Adam, and they all belong to you. Having lost them as to the fall, as to the first man Adam, he redeemed them. As to the second man Adam, he's given them all back to you. But you cannot be carnally minded. The thing that caused them to lose those things was when Eve became carnally minded and passed it on to Eve. And then, being carnally minded, the eyes become dark as to understanding the spirit world was lost, and that which seemingly is a dimension away we cannot see anymore, as to carnality. But when the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, then we can comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length. I've said this a lot of times. When they knew that they were naked, I've asked the question, why did they know that they were naked? How did they know that they were naked? Jesus said, as he came into the garden, as the Father spoke to them, as the Spirit moved in the evening time of life, said, who told thee that thou was naked? That is to say, you didn't have no such understanding. You didn't have no such knowledge. I did not give you a knowledge, a depraved knowledge of anything that would have been depraved. Because there's nothing depraved about my act or my creation or anything that emanated from me. It's holy and it's godly and pure. Even as to the bed of the married, the Bible said, undefiled in all, but the whoremonger and the adulterer will God judge. But the dirty, filthy mind of Lucifer, working through the beast, working through the tree of knowledge, projecting itself into a woman to get some kind of control because she was the weaker vessel, hoping to work himself up through the woman to the man that he might control the garden. Through this came the infiltration, and that's why the Bible tells us today not to lean to our own understanding, but to trust in the Word, trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Think the Word, talk the Word, be the Word, do the Word, whatever the Word says, that is the mind of Almighty God. That is the spirit and life of Almighty God. And when we lean to our own understanding, we lean to the infiltration with which we are born from our childhood. Now, we are proper children. And always, down through the Bible, Satan tried to destroy the proper child. And we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, which means we are the proper child. We are the royal seed through which Christ must come. To Jews, as to the natural, we are as to the spiritual. And if you'll notice, naturally speaking, it has always been down through the years that the nations have boycotted
against Israel, to make Israel extinct, because through that comes the royal seed. And if you'll notice, we being the spiritual Jew, always demons and devils, even people, church, the church world will say, people that are religious, boycott against us. Always, and always they oppress us. They Jim Jones us. They do anything they can, see, to kill out the royal seed, because they know that you are the royal seed, and through you comes the Christ. Always through you comes the Christ. We have conceived of the Christ. And Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. That is, we're God's Mary. The world is God's Eve, allegorically speaking. See, just on a child's level, where we can kind of understand what we're saying here. And so the divine conception comes. We've conceived of the Word, the seed of God. Because we've conceived of the seed of God, then that means that we are sinless. We cannot sin. We've been born again. And the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. For God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So the sinless Christ, that is to say, Christ within your spirit, his spirit within your spirit, and this life within your body, is to the divine concept, as to the vagina of your heart, then on the inside, this Christ is being formed, and we mother this Christ. As to the woman, we mother this Christ, so we're hid away from the world, as it was with Mary, as it was with Elizabeth, as in that day, as to the conception. When the conception came, then they were hid away. And they stayed hid away until after the child was born. And so it is in Revelation 12. It shows the birth of the child. And as soon as the child is born, it's caught up to the third heaven and taken out of the second heaven as to where you are right now, as to the travail or the carrying of this child, where the red dragon also is, where John saw him in heaven, that is to say, living in the human bodies, as to the day of grace, and that the blood is on the seat of atonement. And because of this, he lives within the heart of men. He comes to church just like sons of God come, just like in the days of Job. He has to present himself to God just like you do and give an account. So then he is in heaven. He has all the medical benefits. He eats, he drinks, he revels. He does what he wants to because the blood is on the seat of atonement. And with the coming of the Jesus, he took away the sins of the world, having saved us while we were yet in our sins, taking away the sins of the world. He did this for us, and all of the world is free from sin, in that God cannot look upon iniquity, therefore he does not see their wrongs. They do anything they want to, but right now the blood is on the seat of atonement. They murder. See, God, if he one time saw a man take a little baby, sling its little head up against the wall and beat the brains out, or strangle a mother, or do something to ravish a child, he would come on him like a raging lion. But he can't see that. It's all covered until the day when the blood is off of the seat of atonement. So they are in heaven. Thus Satan is in heaven by grace. See, and when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, the expulsion, Satan goes out of the garden. The expulsion. And the woman goes away into the wilderness for times, time and a half a time, to recover after her birth, when the child goes up to the throne. And Satan is thus no longer in heaven, that generation of vipers, them that are out in the world, them that love the world, them that revel in the world, them that find fault with the church of God, and them that mock the free child, as Ishmael did Isaac. All of a sudden with this, it'll be darkness. There won't be any light, because God cannot look upon them. And God is light, and the consummation of darkness is light. And the very minute that the blood goes off of the seat of atonement, the darkness comes in and is continued through the tribulation period, as to allow for the regime of the kingdom of the Antichrist and the satanic powers, until the millennium comes in, as to bring that light and the restoration, to move away the briars and all these other things. So then he just withdraws, as it was there in the garden when the light withdrew and the darkness of intellectual reason came in and the world came forth. See, so the light came at Calvary. And with the brightness of that light, I will destroy that man of perdition that sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I will destroy him. Or that is, when the light comes, and the light did come at Calvary, but the blood on the seat of atonement, the grace, keeps it from being activated, as to being brought upon the people as to a judgment. And yet it's all finished, and yet it's all over, even as we preach to you in the things of Noah. So we see that this means that you and I also are in heaven. that we are in heaven. But we are in the second heaven, as I say so often, in our body, as to an illumination, in that the illumination has been restored to Adam, even the illumination of the image that with which they were overshadowed. It has been restored in that they lost that original image, and the covering has now come back. We're covering with His glory because we're now His body and we're illuminated with His glory, even as when those that are out in the world are illuminated with Satan's glory as to the glitter and glamour of the world and their intellectual abilities, as to their skills and talents and all of their entertainment. So then we know that we are the children of God. We know that we pass from death unto life, and we know that we shall never come into condemnation, because there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And I say again this for your benefit. There is no way that you can walk after the flesh. It's impossible. You know, a lot of times in churches, they preach it in such a way that you just got to struggle to keep your balance. And you do have to struggle to keep your balance, in that there's a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. But as to your salvation, as to being defiled, as to that which can steal from you, you could never sin against God. You're born of God. This is why the Bible speaks of some getting in as if by fire, all of their works being burned, but they themselves being saved, but if by fire. One fiery trial right after another, one chastisement right after another. But beloved friend, being born of God on the inside, you've already been translated into the kingdom of God. Which kingdom is within you? The world has already been taken out of you. And as you go through these trying situations, you stumble and stagger because of your weakness. And you don't bring any fruit to perfection. For the Bible said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. And God wants us to bring forth fruit to perfection, to lay up treasures in heaven, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, that we might go into a full reward, or to the full measure, or the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus. For everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master, but he that be perfect, he that overcometh, I'll give to him to eat of the hidden manna. He'll overcome and sit down in the throne with me, even as I overcome and sit down in the throne with my Father. I say again, earth being his footstool and heaven his throne, there's a lot of room for people to sit down with him. All right, so then we see that we are the beloved children of God. We're the children of God. Therefore, we have the mind of Christ. And this mind of Christ is an illumination as to unveiling as to another world. And we belong to another world. And at Calvary, it was said as to the Jews, my kingdom is not of this world. Because that was the Christ speaking. Jesus was fixing to be crucified, but the Christ on the inside was saying, you did not receive the Messiah. Now this is another world. This is the Christ world. This is the world in life to the bride. Now, so the Jews were shut out into darkness and do not come back in until the Thessalonian change. That is to say, revelationally speaking, Paul with the revelation, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? Or that is to say, if the Jews are cast away as a scapegoat for the whole world, then they going through the turmoil and the crisis as to all of these things, to the dark ages and the Holocaust, whatever, they are the scapegoat, and I'm punishing them as the bodily members of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as I punish the head, Jesus Christ, for the sins of the people. And those people can continue to live in my presence as to a second heaven out there because of the Jews being cast out and them taking as to the scapegoat of the Old Testament the sins of the people. But in the day when I bring the Jews back in, it will indicate the resurrection from the dead, and those people out there then will give an account for whatever they have done before God. But until now, they're dead in my presence, twice dead and plucked up by the root, as some of them living in pleasure, living in sin, trespasses and sin. They're dead while they live. But they'll come back into his presence. And when they come back into his presence, in that he cannot look on iniquity, immediately the light of the consummation of the brightness of his coming as to the new earth, when the Bible said, and all of a sudden this great wonderful God as to the brightness will be so great that the heavens will pass away, the earth will pass away, all will pass away, and it will just be one great lake of fire as to the power of the consummation, as to the brightness of his coming, wherein the Bible uses the terms and devouring his adversaries as a consuming fire, and that is to a lake of fire that will be forever and ever in. That is, we say so often that hell is not eternal, neither is the grave. It must yield up its dead, and hell and the grave must be cast into the lake of fire, which is the fiery indignation of God as to the consummation to devour his adversaries, which flames are eternal. And were the worm as to Jacob, thy worm as to the body that is rejected God, that is to say the serpent, or the body of the serpent, that is to say that that's on its belly, all of its labor being for its belly and for its mouth because it craves it. And so then as to John cutting down that old tree of knowledge, cutting down that family of the viper and that family life and that family tree all the way back to Calvary, this worm that's on its belly, the serpent that labors for the things of the world, that loves the things of the world, that's interested in the worm as to the face, as to the jogging, as to the powder, the paint, as to all of the things of the worm. See, that is cut down. That is destroyed. That goes into the lake of fire. But we, as through Calvary, going through the stages of the metamorphosis like the butterfly, we leave the old cocoon because we are not a worm and we're only passing through that channel. And so then we leave it as to the breaking forth of the cocoon, as to the rending of the veil. We sail away into the wonderful heavens as naturally speaking, allegorically speaking, with the beautiful covenant wings of the butterfly like the cherubs, as to that wonderful rainbow experience, as we say, of the church ages or the seven church age messengers, as to those colorful things, as to the manifestation of the attributes of God. And of course, as we say sometimes, as to the stone coming at Calvary, to pyramid, the capstone, to say it's finished, as to all of that that was allegorically built as from the beginning of the world to Calvary. And here comes the stone crying, grace, grace, grace. Even Jesus, as to the prism stone, as to capstone everything, saying it's finished, and as to God the great light striking that, as to be smitten of God or esteem him smitten of God. And when that light struck the prism, then the light refracted and the seven church ages came out of it, as to the beautiful rainbow colors, as to the church ages and the church age messengers, as to this dispensational grace as severally dividing itself, that the great rainbow of God might reach all the way over from Calvary over to him that is standing over in the end in the midst of the candlesticks, as to this wonderful thing where John saw the door open in heaven. Now, it seems like we're taking so much time to say what we need to say to try to make you understand what we want to say that we ain't going to get to what we need to say. Not this morning. But anyway, I'm just saying this to you as to by way of remembrance. A lot of these things you know and understand. But Peter said, though you know these things, as long as I, as an inner spiritual being, an angelic form on the inside of this body, is abiding here in the tabernacle, as to this tabernacle, I feel I should stir up your pure minds in Christ Jesus. Because one day you'll put off the tabernacle, and having borne the image of the earthly tabernacle as to that in the wilderness, you'll bear the image of the temple, even the heavenly within the mind of Christ Jesus, which is body and bone of his flesh. And in the sight of God you already do bear it, and you're already changed in his sight, because all of his works is known unto him from the beginning. You're already perfect in his sight. You're already healed in his sight. And as I say, though you stumble and stagger as to the fire, you yourself are saved because you cannot sin against God. Someone would then say, well, Brother Pike, that means that if I go back into the world, if I do the things of the world, if I sin against God, then I can be saved. It certainly does not mean that at all. If you go back into the world, as you say, if you go back into the world, you've never come out of the world. There's no way you could go back into the world. Sinners never come out of the world. They're illuminated as to the overshadowing or the illumination as it was with Adam and Eve, which they that are without are illuminated with that right now, just like you are, to preserve your body unto the change. Once your change is the church, God cares little about that that's in the world. I'm angry with the wicked every day. I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. All of the prayers of the wicked are abomination in my sight. All of the offerings of the wicked are abomination in my sight. He doesn't love the wicked. He hates the evil and wicked with a perfect hatred. See, but because of the illumination of the grace which is over you until your body can be changed so that he won't have to do anything to you, then they get that benefit of it. But one of these days it'll be gone. It's like the elite side of life. It's like the celebrity side of life. Or it's like the upper echelon side of life. Out there they pass laws in their government. They pass laws. They don't pass laws for your benefit. They try to enslave you and they try to pick those laws to pieces. And they try to pervert them in any way to make these laws protect them and to put you in slavery. But you get the benefit of the laws because they have to have protection for them or themselves. And therefore, they don't know how to twist it around to keep you from going to a lawyer and finding out your rights. So you get the benefit of it. Just in the reverse, as to the natural, they get the benefit. You get the enslaver. As to the spiritual, the last being first, and that is to a conversion from perversion. Then you get the benefit, and they are the ones that will get the wrath of it. But they get the benefit because you're getting the benefit as to the time of the change. You understand what I'm saying? So we're talking then about what? The Word. As to the revelation of Jesus Christ. As to what? The Christ. The invisible understanding as to God, who is a spirit, the great light under which no man can approach, as to the wonderful understanding in which the Word, as to Jesus, dwells, and he alone dwelling in that light, in that no man has seen God at any time, nor can see God, and no man can approach under that light, because God is a great invisible spirit. And the only human form he's got is to a body of personification is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as to the fullness. And as to you, the body, members in particular, his children, as to the family. And I say as to the family, then members in particular of his body, and being children, then are you partakers as all things that pertain unto life, that is of the inheritance. So then we see that we're the beloved family of God. No one can lay anything to our charge. We're his darling children. We're perfect in his sight. We're all finished and ready to go. Anytime he comes back, it'll be after church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And when you begin to think like this, you can just feel the Holy Ghost running through you, because that's faith. See, that's faith in his righteousness. That's faith in his finished work. And that's the kind of faith that's going to take all of a sudden and the body will be changed and you'll be gone. See, and the world will be there in darkness. And as the sun goes away in a nova, a sign to say, so will the church go away. It's to nova having to do with bride. Then away you will go. And the world will be in total darkness and eclipse, to the extent that the Bible says, and concerning them, as to Antichrist taken over, their ignorance will be such that they will not be able to even perfect a bottle of medicine. And there won't even be any healing for them. In that all healing comes from God, whether medically or otherwise. It all comes from God, as to the days of grace. And the people out there that are in the second heaven and to this benefit of grace, they are getting the benefits of it. But after a while, God's going to take away all the healing. And there won't be no healing. And they'll gnaw their tongues for pain. And they'll be continually in darkness. And nothing that they have will they enjoy because of this. So we see all the talents, all the wonderful things, all of their beautiful entertainment as to that which is good and wonderful. As to these wonderful things, they'll be stripped of it. And they won't take one talent to hell with them. Everything will come back to you. Jesus made this clear when he said, and take from him the talents and give it to this man. Though this man wouldn't have had, but yet God gave it to him that he might have. See, and in that, it was the man that had 10 talents, as to say he had put his to the exchanges and had usury. Whereas we're taking this life to put it to exchanges, and we're reproducing as in the life of Christ. And Christ is being formed in our life. So the Christ within you, as to the rent veil, as to your body separating from your spirit, thus it is Christ that is revealed to the world. And we don't know each other after the flesh, but after that spiritual Christ. Thus it is Christ. The world sees this light, even as the breaking of the clay pitcher, when they all stood around in the days of Gideon, and he said, when the word is given, all at once we'll break the clay pitcher. And with this, as to the candle within the clay pitcher, the light will break forth in the valley. And since these people's eyes are adjusted to darkness, because they're children of darkness, we'll smite them, as to saying that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Or that is to say, this little clay pitcher made out of dust. The Bible says, as to the spirit on the inside, it is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts, and that we should beware lest he come and move that candlestick, as to say, blot our name out of the book of life. Or if we're going to continue in life, then we're going to have to trim this week, the midnight cries here. We're going to have to light up this candle, that the brightness show, that the world may see the wonderful works of God in our life. Otherwise, we're going to be cut off. All right, let's stand together. There's much we have to say. Jesus said much I'd like to say unto you, but we're all dull of hearing as to what he'd like to say to us or whatever he'd like to give us. And of course, we go along kind of fast here. Whereas when we're preaching out in the world, we try not to do that. We try to be real slow, but this goes on tape to where you can always get the tape and go back and refresh yourself in it and just take it a little bit at a time and study it and understand it. I realize that if somebody was in algebra, somebody was up here as to scientific means of their formulated expressions and all of these other kind of things, I'm well aware of the fact if they went through it so fast, I wouldn't even know what they was talking about. But if they had a book and they had some kind of tutoring to where I could sit down and take a little bit of the time and understand it, after a while I could get me a diplomacy as to those numerical things. Folks, let me say something to you. I love you and I'm not scolding you. And I want you to know that I'm not scolding you. Even though I scream at you sometimes, the Bible said that I have to do that. I have to reprove, I have to exhort, I have to rebuke with all long-suffering, with all power, with all authority, that I'm the minister of God. I'm set here for that reason. And we wish this even the perfecting of your faith, not as to offend one of the little ones, but to nourish you with the milk of the word that you might grow thereby onto the full measure, the full stature. But I say this to you by way of remembrance. You're going to have to leave the world alone. I'm telling you. I know that some of you aren't going to do it. You say, now what makes you think, Brother Pike, that we're not going to do it? Because I have some here that I know I've just got a report in the last day or two, which I knew that they had not gotten away from the world. And in the last day or two, they're still reveling in the world. Though they come to church regular, though they feel like they're one of us, and though they do all of these things, yet their heart is in the world and the love of the world still in them, and they go right on with the world, doing the things of the world as to that which pertains to the flesh. Remember this, folks. You think on this. When you eat and drink, is that of the spirit or is that of the flesh? Though it's necessitated to life as to moderation, and it is given to you in Christ Jesus. And when you have human relationship as one to another, even man and wife as to reproduction, is that of the spirit or is that of the flesh? And even that God has given you as to a moderation in that because of reproduction to multiply and replenish the earth. So the word is commanded us to eat. Said, give the little girl something to eat when he raised her from the dead. All of these things that are necessitated to life, they are yours on a basis of moderation, because all things that are natural are yours. As to carnal things, as to houses, as to health, as to whatever it might pertain to, as to the body. These things are given unto you. As to let your moderation be known in all things. But an overindulgence in any of these things, an overly concern, or to be thus minded as to natural things, then it is of the devil. He savors the things that be of the flesh. And as I said, overcharging as to a stimulation of the appetites, these demons enter into you because they wander through dry places, seeking rest and can't find it. So when they're cast out into a sanctification, they come back and they find the tabernacle is to your body cleansed and purified, that is to purify your heart by faith, and then they try to come in and they don't have the strength to do that because you've received a new strength. So they go and they get seven other spirits more wicked and wretched than themselves, and they come back and then they begin to bombard you, to hit you from all sides, eat, to drink, to revel, passions, to hunt, to fish, ball games, whatever, until finally they weary you down and in they go. See, and then you've got a conglomeration of a confusion, even as Mary Magdalene, out of which seven devils was cast. Now, so then the last state of that man is worse than the first, because it had been better for him never to have known the right way than to turn from the way after that he'd known it and go back to those things that are in the world. For after these come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to the fire indignation of God that shall devour the carnal mind of the adversaries of God that love or savor the things that be of the flesh. See, all of these things we must remember to get away from sports, whether it's hunting, whether it's fishing, whatever it might be. I know this is foreign to some of you, because in the world they condone this, they revel in this, they go out and they do these things. But folks, reason in your mind, is it of God or is it of the flesh? Is it of the word? Is it of the flesh? Reason. think? Jesus said, come and let us reason together. Are those things of the flesh? If those things are of the flesh, then are they of the devil? Now think, is eating and drinking of the devil? Of course not. But it is on the perverted side. Why do you eat and drink? Because it is of God? You eat and drink because it is on the perverted side. You've been taken away from the appetite of the Spirit and the hearing of the Spirit and the feeling of the Spirit and the world of the Spirit. And you are in this world of intellectual vanity and darkness, and all is vanity and all is vexation of spirit. Which I say as years ago when the people in past ages would say, this mirror, this is a vanity. That is to say, it is a reflection. And to you and I, the world is nothing more than a reflection. All is a reflection of the spiritual man. And that's why the Bible uses the term that all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse, allegorically speaking. But we're here as to the Spirit to unveil these things. You are educated, you are acquainted with all of the vanities. You know that. That's your system of education. It's like the eagle raised up among the chickens. See, but it was a heavenly creature, and when the call came, it left the barnyard. Jesus in the barnyard, born in a manger, as with the beast. But when the call came, he left the barnyard as to this world, saying that, I am not of the dust. I am not of this world. I came from the Father. Folks, we're not of this world. We're not of the first man, Adam. We're of the second man, Adam, a quickening spirit. We're from heaven. We came from heaven. We go back to heaven. Someone would say, well, how did we come from heaven? Because the Bible said these things were given unto us in Christ before the world ever was. Brought to Calvary at the light of the rending of the veil, preached to us down through the church ages that we might know our sonship and that we might grasp and comprehend these things, as to believe that through the transformating of our mind, the translation of our spirit, it will bring an ultimation as to the change or the transfiguration of our body to that wonderful world of God. See, and you don't want to mess with the beast. You don't want to mess with the things of Esau. You don't want to take up time with them. You don't want to be choked off of those things. You don't want to be choked off of your face, off of your bodies, off of natural things. Use what you got. Run it through the filter. Use it for God. Give to the spoiling of your goods, to the hungry, the poor. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions, and then keep yourselves unspotted from the world. So then, what we need to do is come out from the world, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. All right, let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Okay, let's sing together. I love him. Sing it with me now. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Is a minister then preaching to preach you into something, to make of you something, to constitute, to reconstitute? No. He is only there as one that's sent from God in pursuit of you who hath been blinded. As to say that you are not of this world, that you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, which is of another world. Therefore, that because of Calvary, we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things, to rejoice forevermore, you that are in heaven. Don't worry. Don't let the devil oppress your mind. He's trying to trample down the mind of humanity. Don't allow him to do that. Rejoice. You're sons of God. You cannot sin. You cannot be lost. There is no condemnation to you because you're not in the flesh. He has chosen you out of the flesh, hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, that is in the Spirit, until the time of the changes to the millennium, the restoring of all things. So you are forever finished. Jesus said, it is finished. You are complete in me. There is no lacking of you in him. Whatever it is, be strong in the power of my might. Having done all to stand, stand ye therefore, trusting in what I've done for you. Believe in my righteousness, for you are ever healed. You are ever, ever blessed. You are ever, forever rich, strong, healthy, full of understanding. All things that the Father hath made known to him, he's made known to you. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Why? Because it's the mind of health, it's the mind of happiness, it's the mind of power, it's the mind of authority, it's the mind of the glory of God, it's the mind of who you are and what you are and all of your benefits. It's your diplomacy in life as to your proof of that ye should be enjoying right now. Because God, you have to remember this, we're not waiting on God. He said it's finished, but he's waiting on us. Like the song I wrote when we was in California years ago. I said, and oh Lord, why do you take so long? And the Lord answered back, son, it's not me. I've been waiting all this time. And when you're ready, we'll go home. So then that's the way it is, see. When we're ready. Ready as to what? Somebody said to live better and to live better and to live better. And the preacher's going to preach and we live better. Well, if that's the truth, I ask the question, why do we live worse? And the preacher preaches and we live worse. And the preacher preaches and we get worse. You know, and I know the worst thing that ever happened to Israel was when the law was made known to them as to its greatness and righteousness. And how that law in return revealed their weaknesses and their impurities. And as Paul said, I was alive without the law. And then the law came, sin revived, and I died. And that which was ordained unto life I found to be unto death. In that I am weak. Not that the law is weak. But in that I am carnal, sold unto sin. But the law is spiritual. So then the righteousness of the law being fulfilled in me, and that Jesus did it all for me. And the law folded up and laid away as to anything to my flesh. Can't touch my flesh. I'm not under the law. It's not required of me as to the law. But I pass from death unto life, because transgression of the law is sin and the sting of death. So then I'm free from death. Do you feel free from death? If you do not feel free from death, then as we sing, that's what the altar call is for. To invite you up. If you've never made the commitment to God as to the great commitment, I invite you to come. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that what I've committed unto God is able to keep against that great day. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Powers can't separate you from the love of God. Money, Satan, oppression, sickness, nothing. There's poverty or nothing else that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So great was that love towards you. The best thing of heaven. Now you're his, sealed in forever. So then, if you're not feeling this inspiration, if you're not feeling this abundance of that which is finished, that is to say, we're set here for the perfecting of your faith, the mysteries of God to be finished, the sounding of the last trumpet, being revelated to you, to make you to understand in another mind, even the mind of Christ, as it possesses your body to the change, that you are now ready for the change. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that the days of the Gentiles are now come to an end, and the Jews are now coming in to be sealed. Even as this desert storm that we spoke of before it came to pass. So then in that these things are thus, then that means the church world is about to run its course. But casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but the translation of the churches to the resurrection of the dead? Which means your bodies being dead by Calvary to Jesus, now they come back to life, the life of Christ within you being made manifest as to the mortal genes, as to the translation, as to the trumpet, the last sounding, Thessalonians changed, thus you are glorified, and thus you're seen as Jesus in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah, or thus you're seen as to that change of the glorious body to outshine the brightness of the noonday. That's where we're at. Somebody says, I don't feel that. I can't grasp it. I can't get that. Well, do your best to get it, because at this point, there's some that's going to get it. And with that, it's like the vision I had as to Enoch and the whirlwind, or there I was and the whirlwind came. And all of a sudden the whirlwind got me. It whirled and whirled till I found myself in the middle of the whirlwind. And as it got me, all of a sudden I went up, 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 and the whirlwind whirled me higher and higher and higher. And when I was high above the earth, I knew that I was going on to heaven with God, and I waved back at my loved ones like that because the whirlwind. And folks, I've been in that whirlwind for a long time now, like the vision I saw where I was standing up in heaven, and I saw all these beautiful things, and I said, oh my God, how beautiful, how wonderful. And when I turned to the masses of the earth, I said, look at these beautiful things, and they didn't see a thing, not a thing. And I was shocked because I couldn't find a one out of the masses of the earth that saw it. And I looked back, and I was shocked. See, but in this whirlwind, you're being caught up. You're being caught up. You that love the body, love the Lord Jesus, that are the body of the Lord Jesus, you've been caught up, caught up, caught up. We're high up now, high up, moving right on to heaven, waving goodbye. No more belonging to the family of earth, but as I said, we belong to the family of God. We're coming out of the land of our kindred as to the flesh, and we are now kin to the angels. In heaven, they're all as the angels, and we are of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? These that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, with the family of God. Okay, let's sing together.
There's room at the cross for you. The altars are open. There's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing with me now. For at the cross, where I first saw it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away, all the burdens of my heart rolled away, rolled away. You know what? All you have to do is just let the Lord come near and He'll roll the burdens away. And you'll find it's a wonderful life. Wonderful life. You can't imagine what it's like to live in the world that I live in, to be partakers of the things that I am partakers of, to understand what I understand. You can't imagine the peace, the glory, the tranquility of this wonderful thing of Almighty God. There is nothing to be compared with it. Nothing. Not even through all, out of all eternity, as to was, as is, to our shall come. When you understand, and this is the beauty of the wonderful things of God, why do you not have it? Because you do not hunger and thirst after it. If you hungered and thirsted after, you would have it. You would have to have it. Because the Bible teaches the scriptures cannot be broken, and they that hunger and thirst after the righteousness shall be filled. You do not hunger and thirst after it, but rather you hunger and thirst after the prestige of the world, the conglomeration of the world, the merit of the world, the frolics of the world, the educational systems of the world, the diplomacies of the world. And as man measuring himself by himself through the diplomacies of the world, the Bible said they're not wise and they cannot have the praise and glory and honor that comes to the people of God because they desire honor one of another. They cannot have that as of God as to His praise.
because they are desiring the things that be of the flesh. All right, let's sing another little chorus. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave His Son to die in their stead. And He gave His life on the little cross of Calvary. God, can you sing me? Thank God, there's a bridge over a river. The eye shall see His worthy on my will there forever. Thank the Lord for His wonderful grace. I read where He said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, with pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see His sweet face. With Him we'll dwell there forever. Thank the Lord. Can you sing that with me? Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see His face. With Him mine will bear forever. Thank the Lord for His marvel. One more time together. Thank God. There's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see His face. Let's sing this chorus together, can we? I know that you don't altogether understand the things I'm saying, even though I know you understand many of them. But I can tell as to the respond of your spirit that you still don't see. And it's those that are catching a little glimpse that it's still an intellectual concept as to this thing. And it's not as to having eyes of understanding open as to the activation as to this thing that God has given that relates to the heart. My soul cries out, oh Lord, how long till my toiling ends? Run, you call me home. Since I caught a glimpse, saw my home in the sky, nothing in this world keep me satisfied. That the lights so my sea, do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight. Sing that with me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold and a thousand strings. Earth holds no charm since I heard the song. Sweet beautiful
the light, so my sea. I feel the breeze from the crystal sea, with the Lord standing high, heaven's balcony. It's the lights of home shine to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with hearts of gold and a thousand strings. Earth holds no charm when I hear the song, sweet Beulah Land, I hold sweet home. That the lights so home I see. Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea, with the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony? It's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me.
Give me another confession.
I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found you where the lilies, they're blooming by the way. And I thank you for the valleys I walk. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. So I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. Thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was all right. And I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? And I will praise him, my and I'll give him glory all ye people. For his blood has washed away every stain. And
and I will praise him. I'm going to ask Brother Ron Pasden to come and dismiss us, if you will. Praise the Lamb for slain. Let us give him glory, people, for his blood has washed. Can we sing it one more time together as our brother comes? Don't forget the services tonight. And I will remember now, we're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to the full measure, the full stature. And if you want to be in this translation, you must come, because this is the translation that is taking place. I know we talk about a rapture, and the church talks about a rapture, and that's fine. They have nothing to say against it. The only thing I'm compelled to say as a minister, that he that God sendeth will speak God's word, and there's no such thing as rapture in the word. There's no such thing as that word. There's no such thing as that application. There's no such thing as the millennium. And even though we refer to the millennium and as to the rapture, that is a human terminology. And the Bible speaks of the change. So we're in the translation now. And a lot of people are not going to hunger and thirst after it. A lot of people are not going to give it or get it. A lot of people are not going to administer it. A lot of people are not going to be able to conceive of this, because this is the church going home now. She's been translated. Ever since Calvary, the Bible said, the Lord, the prophets, unto John, since that time the kingdom of God has been preached. Men pressed their way into it, and the Bible said, for God hath, that is even as of now, he hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God, and the kingdom of God within you is to your spirit within the kingdom. As to within Christ, you're getting closer and closer now, even as Enoch walked on and on till finally one sudden change and away he went. And the Bible said, the heavens declaring the handiworks to him. The thing was revelated to him, and out of that away he went, as to being translated by faith, that he should not see death, being typical of the church as the seventh from Adam. Sing it with me one more time. Don't forget to come to church. Don't forget to listen. Don't forget to grow. And I will praise.